Good morning, everyone. How are you doing today? Great, you're alive. Yes, we are alive, and I'm thankful for that. What a privilege it is to be here together, to worship together, to study God's Word together. As you know, we're continuing our series in the study of the book of Colossians, Paul's letter to the church. And I want to ask you this. What is your story? Have you ever thought of your story? What is it that you would have to tell about this life that you have lived so far? What is your story? And if we could go to the next slide. Would it look something like this? If someone asks you, what is your story? Well, I grew up, I had a pretty normal childhood. I had parents that provided for me. I went to school. I went to church. I got a job. I found a great spouse. I started a family. I worked hard. I provided for my family. I raised kids. Now they're successful adults with good jobs of their own, and they're starting their own families. I've experienced a lot of things. I've got to travel the world. And now I'm retired, and I'm free to do whatever I want. Well, look at that. Maybe some of you can resonate with that. I'm there about point number three there. That's where I stop. That's where I'm at. That's the season of life I'm in. That sounds like a pretty good life, doesn't it? Well, to me it does. This may be similar to your own story or something that you may share with people. Some of you may yearn for this to be your story. But here's the thing. This is only a fraction of your life story. These things are only a fraction of what really has been going on in your life. This is only a shell. There's so much more to our lives when we are in Jesus Christ. You see, this outline, it says nothing about God. It says nothing about Jesus. And that's the most important part. If I were to share with you even those first three points and use those to share about my life with you, it would go something like this. Growing up, yes, I had a normal childhood. Nothing really tragic happened to me. But I realize when I look back, God has been working on me ever since, even before I was born. God planned for me to be with Him. And He made a way for me when I was very young, when I was 10 years old. He opened my eyes to the reality of my need for Jesus. And the reality of His love for me, shown and demonstrated through His Son, Jesus Christ. And I had faith, I had parents that loved the Lord, that brought me to church. I had people at church that cared about me, that taught me the Word, that showed me an example of Jesus. And I went to school, and I had struggles, yes. I didn't love school, I was a horrible student, but even in those tough times, God was working on my heart. He grew in me a love for the church, the love for His people. He opened my eyes to a new purpose for life. And it wasn't just about accumulating riches and finding a good job and going to a good school. But in all of those things, those are all opportunities for God to continue to make me more and more like His Son and to use me for His kingdom and for His glory. And I went to church. I learned what it means to be a servant, what it means to follow Jesus. And God blessed me with a job. And that job gave me finances, allowed me to make money so that I could live and so that I could support a family so that I could serve Him. And as I've served the Lord through these years, I found great joy and contentment in life with God. Even though circumstances may be tough, even though things don't go the way that I wanted, I learned to trust Jesus. And yes, God blessed me with a beautiful, gracious, godly woman in my wife, Debbie. And we have three beautiful children. And we've seen God stretch us. We've experienced God stretch us and challenge us and teach us and guide us all along the way. We've experienced life change. We've experienced God heal. We've experienced God make relationships right again. You see, all of that's not there, right? See, what story do you have to tell about your life in Jesus Christ, dear brothers and sisters? Now, I know there's some of you here that have not put your faith in Jesus Christ, and for you, I want to say thank you for being here. Because God has an amazing story, and other chapters to write in your life. As He's calling you and inviting you to come to Him, to know Him, to trust Him, to follow Him. But for you, brothers and sisters, I'm talking to you this morning. What is your story? What do you have to tell about the great things God has done, about who He is, and how you've experienced His greatness in your life? Are you able to say that I've lived this life to the fullest? Because this story right here is not full. The truth is, brothers and sisters, you know this full well, that we only have one life to live. We've been given one life here on this earth, given by God. And my question for you is, are you living it to the fullest? Now, I know that's open-ended, and it's all left up to your interpretation of what it means to live to the fullest. But let me put it another way. Are you living this life in His fullness? Are you living this life in the fullness of Jesus Christ? And we're looking at the book of Colossians. We're studying Paul's letter to the church in Colossae. And this church, they're facing many trials. And one of the biggest trials they were facing, one of the biggest challenges in the church, was false teaching. People spreading lies, getting other people to believe that, and especially people in the church trying to get them to believe that they needed something other than God. They needed something other than God's Word and the truth that they had been taught. That there was some secret knowledge out there that they needed to gain. And we see this letter, Paul, addressing these issues, these challenges, writing this letter to the church. And basically, Paul is saying this, this week and last week, Paul is saying, the Apostle Paul is saying, church, brothers, sisters, do not be tricked. Do not be distracted. Remember what is true. Remember Jesus, who He is and what He has done. Remember the gospel. Remember the hope that you have in Jesus. Jesus Christ in you. The hope of glory. You see, brothers and sisters, to experience the fullest life, we have to make a choice every day. We must choose daily to live in the fullness of the person and the work of Jesus. Every day, remembering, reminding one another, encouraging one another, choosing, today, I know Jesus, I know You, I know what You've done for me so far. And I'm going to live today in light of what is true. Are you living to the fullest? And I'm not talking about gaining all the riches in the world and partying it up and just having fun. Some may think that that's what it means to live to the fullest. Do what you want to do. Whatever makes you happy, just do it. And I come here to tell you, brothers and sisters, do not be distracted. Do not fall for the lies of the world, the lies of the evil one, telling you that this and that type of life, that type of life is going to satisfy, because the only one that can satisfy is Jesus. He is the one that has given you this life. He is the one, by His grace, that has given you another breath to breathe right now. Paul is reminding us, don't forget. Don't forget. Remember Jesus. Remember what He's done. Remember the hope that you have. And look at Colossians chapter 2. We're going to spend our time in Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 through 12, looking at Paul's encouragement to the church. And I want to read it to you out loud, and you can follow along on the screen or in your own Bible silently, but I'll read it for us out loud. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. Paul writes this, I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those in Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. We all know he's in prison. My goal is that they may be encouraged in their heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith is in Christ. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Jesus Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. He's talking about a spiritual circumcision. Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through your faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. Please pray with me. God, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the truth. God, thank You for being all-powerful and almighty and in control and for having a plan. Thank You, God, for the assurance that nothing and no one, no power, no force, nothing in the heavens and the earth can get in the way of Your plans. And thank You, God, for loving us. Thank You for loving me. Thank You, God, for making a way so that I could be with You. God, I pray that You would open our hearts and our eyes. Help us to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Help our hearts and our minds to be teachable. And God, I pray that as we are reminded of the truth of who You are and what You've done, that our lives will be lived in response to You. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You look at verses 1 through 5 here, it's like Paul is following up on what he previously wrote. What we talked about last week, the hope, to be able to say, I have this hope, I remember what Jesus has done and who He is, and now I have this hope, Christ in me, the hope of glory. I realize He's coming back. He has a plan. And Paul's following up here, when you look at the passage here, verses 1 through 5, he's elaborating more on what he previously encouraged them with. And he's emphasizing the fact that he is really laboring. He is agonizing. He is working extremely hard with such deep love and care and concern, even though he's away from them, right, in prison. Why is he working so hard? He says, when you look at verse 2. His goal for writing this, for striving, for working, for agonizing, his goal is to encourage them. To encourage their hearts, to strengthen their hearts, to remind them of the full riches that they have in Jesus Christ, to remember the supremacy and the sufficiency of Jesus. What it means for them to be in Jesus, what it means for them to have a hope of future glory. See, he says, remember that you may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. Now see, Paul, again, he's battling these false teachings. He refers to the mystery. He references knowledge. He's battling these false teachers that are saying, you need this secret. You need this secret information. But he's saying, guys, the mystery has been Jesus. It's been the gospel and you have it. You don't have to search. You don't have to look under the rock. You don't have to go over there and wait this amount of time. He's here. He has come. He's died on the cross for your sin and He is alive. And He is all that you need. He's doing this. He's writing this so that they may know Jesus. You know, I enjoy this season of the year. I don't enjoy the triple digits temperatures, but I enjoy some of the rain that we've been getting. And yes, I know that there's been some damage caused, but I'm thankful for the rain. And the other day, after that storm hit over here on this side, I was driving around, and as many of you were, you see some of the aftermath of the strong winds and the rain. I saw countless trees uprooted, flipped over in the street. Actually, that night of the storm, I drove out and I saw crews frantically working to remove some of these huge trees that have been uprooted and in the way of traffic in the middle of the night. You see, when I see that, I'm reminded of how important it is for us to have Jesus. You know, without Christ, we're like a tree whose roots are very weak and very shallow. That when the winds come or when the storm comes, we're easily overturned. We're easily swayed to the left and to the right, easily broken. You see, brothers and sisters, there is no full life apart from Jesus. You see, if you're here this morning and that's your pursuit, I just want to live a good life. I want to just be happy. Well, I tell you this, there is no true joy and happiness apart from Jesus. There is no true and full contentment apart from Jesus. That's why I'm here today. Along with the Apostle Paul, I am echoing just what he is saying. Brothers, sisters, remember, we need Jesus. He is our hope. And we have this life. We have this life in Him to be lived in Him and for Him. So Paul is saying, church, remember, pay attention. I'm working. I'm agonizing for you to remind you. Don't let anyone persuade you. Are you living the fullest life? Are you living this life to the fullest? Are you living in the fullness of Jesus Christ? And what does this life look like? And Paul defines this life, this full life. Paul describes this amazing life that we have in Christ. And there's four things that he's pointing out here that I want to point out to you. If you want to live the fullest life, you want to experience fullness in Christ, look at what he has done, look at who he is, and it starts with faith. Look at verse 6 and 7. So then, just as you have received Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. You see, our power in life comes from Jesus Christ, Christ in us. And when you wake up every day as a follower of Jesus, as a Christian, it's amazing to know that God is with you. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit is in you as a follower of Jesus. You have the very power of Jesus in you every day. You don't wake up and say, okay, God, you did my part. I put my trust in you. And now it's time for me to get to work. Yes, we are to work and to serve and to work out our faith. But let us never confuse the fact that we can do nothing apart from Jesus. You see, it's God, it's Jesus working in us, through us, around us, for His kingdom, for His glory. Christ gives us the grace that we need for today. He gives us everything we need to do, everything that He's planned for us to do. Never forget that. The fullest life is built upon a faith, a trust in God, trust in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Just as you were taught. Right, Paul says, just as you were taught. And we look back and we think back again to that passage in Ephesians chapter 2 about faith. How we're saved by grace through faith. That's the power and it's the work of Jesus. It's not of our own so that no one can brag or boast. It's God that gives us the grace and the power to do everything that He created us to do. And see, in Christ, we are rooted. We have roots that go deep under the surface into the person of Jesus Christ and His work. And in Christ, we are not easily broken. We will not be overturned. And look at what Paul says at the end of that section there. In verse 7. rooted, built up, and am strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with what? Overflowing with thankfulness. How many of you have ever received a gift that you were so grateful, so thankful for, that you enjoyed, that you used? A gift that you actually used, that you enjoyed. How many of you have been so thankful to receive a gift like that? Anyone? Nobody. No one's ever been given a gift. Okay. All right. I have. And I have been so thankful. I remember, right? I talked before about some of the great Christmas presents that I've got throughout my life. Yes, Jesus is the best one. But, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, look at what you've been given. Look at what you've been given in Christ. You see, there is no way that we cannot be thankful once we remember all that Jesus has done for us. Once we realize and remember where we came from and who we used to be apart from Christ, dead in our sin. But now, because of Christ and His work on the cross and the fact that He rose from the dead, we're alive with Him. The fullest life is built upon faith. It's also built upon a foundation. Look at verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. Our firm foundation is Jesus Christ. Apart from Christ, there is no way for us to stand firm. Without Christ, we will be blown here, we'll be blown there, we'll be fall into temptation, we're gonna fall for the lies. When our foundation is not firmly rooted in the person and the work of Jesus Christ and the truth of His Word. And Paul is speaking directly in regards to those false teachings that the church was facing. You see, this knowledge, he's talking about the knowledge, it comes from Christ and the fullness of God. You know, and this brings up a good point of encouragement for us today. Whenever anyone stands up here or in your life tells you, you should do this, you should do that, I think you should do this. Have you heard of that person that taught that? You should do that. You should follow that. Brothers, sisters, I tell you, test everything. Test everything that I say. Test everything that Pastor Terry says. Test it according to God's Word. His Word is the standard. He is the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus. Test everything. So that we will not be taken captive, right? So that we will not be taken captive by every teaching, by every other person. So that we will not be deceived by all the lies. Test everything so that you are not taken captive by it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5 says, we must take captive every thought and make it obedient to Jesus Christ. Take captive every thought. Every thought that crosses your mind. Every time you're making a decision, thinking about what you should do or what God wants you to do, take captive every thought and conform it and make it obedient to Jesus Christ. If we're not, our life is not built on Jesus, then we are setting ourselves up for destruction. The fullest life is built on a faith, it's built on a foundation, and it's built on fullness. You look at verse 9 through 10. For in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and every authority. Christ is the fullness. And we have been made full in Him. And see, Paul again, he's pointing out, he's reminding us of the incarnation of Jesus, how He was God, but He was also fully man. You see, the teaching of the time, the false teachers were trying to tell people to question the deity of Jesus. He was just a man. Or, you know, He wasn't both man and God. Paul is saying, don't forget, brothers, sisters, Jesus is God. He was fully God and He's fully man. Don't get that wrong. And he lived. He actually lived. He wasn't some vision that people saw. Excuse me. He walked this earth. So I want you to be rooted, built up in Him, strengthened in the faith. But see, our lives, he says in verse 8 there, we need to build our lives upon Christ. Do you want to experience a life lived in the fullness of God? Remember that it's only found in Jesus Christ and in a relationship with Him. You see, remember what happened. Remember that we were dead in our sin. Remember that because of Jesus' sacrifice, we now, it's like we have been crucified with Him, and now we are raised into newness of life. Our sins wiped away. We have victory in Christ. Yes, we're still going to be tempted, guys. Brothers, sisters, we're still going to be tempted, but we can experience the fullness and the joy and the peace and the hope every day, even though times are tough. We can experience this life to the fullest with Jesus, when we choose to trust in Him. And see, there's this grand conclusion here. Verse 11 and 12, in Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through your faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. The fullest life is also built on the finished work of Jesus. You see, Paul finishes here in these couple verses pointing us again to what Jesus did on the cross. And what happened, the fact that yes, spiritually there is this change. He has made us new. He's working on us, changing us, transforming us from the inside out. We have this new life in Him. We're no longer slaves to sin, slaves to our flesh, but we've been set free in Christ, because of Christ, because of what He has done. Buried with Him in baptism and raised into newness of life. You see, if Christ did all of this for you and for me, if Christ, Jesus Christ has given us, brothers and sisters, this new life, then it's up to us to live this life for Him, in Him. For His kingdom, for His glory. And so in light of all this, brothers and sisters, what is your response? How do these truths, how do these facts about Jesus and who He is and what He's done, and these facts about who you are in Him, how do these facts form your focus in life? How many of you think that, yes, if I just get through school, if I get a good job, if I have a secure retirement, if my children, if I get married and have a wife and have children and they grow up to be responsible and safe and secure, how many of us, that's really what we desire? I think we would all want that for ourselves and for our children, for our families. But don't we also want them to have Jesus? Because all of those things, all of that comfort, all of that safety in this life is meaningless apart from Christ. Because all of that stuff will fade away. I want to share this quote with you. It's by a pastor and an author. He said this once. Francis Chan, when considering your life, our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at things in life that don't really matter. Our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at things in life that don't really matter. Brothers and sisters, will you allow God's Word? Will you allow the Holy Spirit to transform your mind? To renew it? To allow God to refocus your eyes and your heart upon Him once again? And will you realize and see that this life without Jesus is meaningless, but with Christ, in Christ, we're able to live this life to the full and experience fullness in Him. What will you do? What are you doing? What are you doing day to day in this new life that you've been given in Christ? Now that you know, now that you have this treasure, now that you've been forgiven and set free, how will you choose to live? Will you look at what He's done? Will you say, Amen, Amen, I agree, I believe? Brothers and sisters, if that's you this morning, you already know this, you believe this, well then it's time to stand up. It's time to get on your feet. It's time to extend your hand. It's time to open your mouth and share the riches of life in Christ. It's time to open your mouth and extend a hand and walk across the aisle or walk across the street and tell the world about Jesus and the treasure that you have in Him. It's time to start turning away from our former way of life, the old things that never satisfy. And yes, we are to be responsible. We are to recognize that everything that we have, every good and perfect gift is from God. And we are to use all that He's given us for His kingdom, for His glory. Will you instead of holding on to those things so tightly, will you instead hold on to Jesus and follow Him wherever He leads? You see, John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Will you choose today, dear brothers and sisters, to live the fullest? Will you choose today to live the fullest life in His fullness? And it starts by making a choice to trust Him, to acknowledge that you need Him, to confess Jesus as your Lord. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father God, we praise You, we thank You. Thank You, God, for Your Word. Such a timely and important and vital reminder of our need for You. And how easily we can be distracted and swayed by the things of this world or by people. God, I pray that we would never forget what's true about who You are and what You've done for us. May we never forget our identity in Christ. May we never forget about this amazing life that You've given us to live now. And the amazing part about it, God, that I thank You for is that it's life with You. Thank You for being with me. And God, I lift up my brothers and sisters in Christ today, this morning. If there's anyone here that does not know You, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, I pray that today would be the day that they would acknowledge that they need You. That they would believe that Jesus, You're God's Son, that You died on the cross to save us from our sin, and that You rose from the dead. And that today, they would just make a choice right now to confess Jesus as Lord of their life. And God, I also pray for my brothers, my sisters. Those of us that are on this crazy adventure with You, God, living this amazing life. God, I pray that You would remind us of the truth of the gospel, the truth of the reality of who we are in You. And God, I pray that we would never forget the amazement of this life. The fact that we're on this amazing mission to tell the world about Jesus. And that this life is so short and we don't have a lot of time. And so while we're here, I pray, God, that You would give us an urgency. That You would give us a broken heart for those that are lost, for those that are hurting, for those that are in need. And that we would be a church that is willing to get up and go. Whether that's across the room or across the country, that we would be a church that recognizes what we have in Jesus and wants the world to have it as well, wants the world to have You as well. And that we would not stop doing what's good. That we would not stop doing what You've created and called us to do. And together, that we would serve and work and proclaim side by side for Your glory, for Your kingdom, until we see You face to face. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, friends, I want to invite you to rise. And I want to invite you to respond to God. Maybe He's putting something on your heart. Maybe you are the one that God is calling to put your faith in Him as Savior and Lord today. And I want you to know all it took was for you just to admit that while I was talking you through it. Just to acknowledge that, God, I need You. I am a sinner and I need You to forgive me. And I want You to be Lord of my life. And if you acknowledge that today, I want you to know that your sins have been wiped clean. You've been made white as snow. You've been set free. And now you have Jesus in you, and you are in Him. And so as we sing, I want to invite you to respond to God, whatever it is that He is calling you to do. If you made a decision today, I invite you to come and share with me so that I can pray with you. If you just want to pray up here, I invite you to do that. As we sing, as the worship team leads us.